Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Man, I'm excited for the Word of God. Anybody pumped for God tonight? Can I just tell you, the last few days, God has been doing amazing things here. Anybody at youth camp this week? Come on. Woo! Oh man, it's been an unbelievable time, and this is my last opportunity to open God's Word, and honoured them this morning. But tonight, could we put our hands together and honour our senior pastors, Pastor Ken, Pastor Chrissy. Thank you for digging wells in the West for 20-something years, 147 to go. Genuinely, thank you. Thank you for trusting me when many other people say don't come to our church. But thank you for having me and for sparing no expense on the sticker budget for this camp. We really appreciate that. Come on, one more time. If you're grateful for your senior pastors, show them you love them, honor them tonight. Oh, Gareth here. Pastor Gareth. G Money. Woo! Bruh, bruh. Belmont for life. Myrie for also life. Stop. Tonight, I'm excited. I reckon God's about to change you in a way that you've never experienced before. I'm one who believes God's got more oil. I believe His cup never runs dry. I hope you didn't come here to play church tonight. I don't feel like I was invited, although I was. I feel sent. I feel commissioned tonight to aggravate, to provoke, to commission and to send. And so as we grab our seat in a moment, I just want you to know, as soon as you sit down, game on. Let's get it. Are you ready? Okay. Slay by fives with a couple of people. Grab a seat. Stay with me, team, for a bit longer. Grab a seat. It's going to be an amazing night. I'm going to be very transparent with you. I wrote 3/4 of this afternoon because I had a completely different take on this message. But after this morning being here, I felt like the Lord wanted me to change it. I felt like He wanted me to change it and challenge you in a different way. Man, I love that vision video. We're moving forward in faith, church. We're moving forward in faith, and that's going to require something different from us. So tonight, I want to unpack this idea about ending spiritual obesity. Ending spiritual obesity. That's like the 15th title I tried to give this message today. If I have a concern, it's that our generation, this is plural, are rolling around thinking we're fitter in the faith than we actually are. And so tonight, I want to preach this message. I'm going to stay so calm and professional. The boss is here tonight. I'm going to be tight. Tight 4 hours. That's all we can have. Because He can't move in 3 hours and 50 minutes. He can't do it. But 4 hours, I think we can do it. It's a joke. I know it wasn't good, but please, just for my own insecurities. Ending spiritual obesity. Let's pray one more time and let's get into the Word. Father, we thank You for Your presence here tonight. I pray, God, that You would rip back the layers of our stubbornness, rip back the layers of our apathy, rip back the layers of the tall poppy syndrome that plagues our country, rip back, God, the ideas of comparison, of fear of man tonight. I pray, send us out here like spiritual beasts who are ready to obey You and do everything You've asked us to do. We love You, Jesus. And for the next 3 seconds, we give You a praise You're actually worthy of. 1, 2, 3. Give Him praise tonight. Amen. 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 I went to the doctor the other day, and I've got a great doctor. His name is Dr. Madhu. And I went to the doctor because I needed some melatonin legally so that I can sleep better. Because here in Australia, if you fly anywhere, it's a different time zone, and there's a lot of pressure and newborn baby, and so it's just a lot going on. So I went to the doctor and I said, Madhu, I need some melatonin. He's like, oh yeah, easy, great. Starts typing on it. That was that, by the way. That was not him just going, it would be weird if he did that. I wouldn't see him again. But then he said to me, okay, wonderful. How tall are you? I was like, 6 foot and a bit, I think. Yeah. This tall? I'm not sure. I was like, okay. Just take off your clothes for a second. Sorry? Dr. Madhu, I'm here for melatonin. Yep. Just jump on the scales for a second. I didn't know this was the kind of legal hoops we have to jump through for melatonin in this country, but I stand on the scales. He looks. Okay, sit back down. Put your clothes back on. He sat. And I sat equally as confused, but I'm not sure we were confused about the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, I don't know what's happening here. And he paused. And he looked up from his computer. And he said, well, you're obese, and that's not great. You're right, Dr. Madhu. But I'd like to remind you I came for melatonin! Not for fat shaming. And he's like, okay, so you're going to have to lose some weight. I was like, yes, okay, great, wonderful. He's like, you're going to have to do a blood test. I want to see what's going on in your blood. I was like, wonderful. I love needles too. I'm so glad I came for melatonin today. So I do the blood test and then I come back and he's like, okay, great. And he's like, here's the thing, Harry. You need to understand that you've come in for melatonin, but you're obese, and I'm more concerned about your obesity than I am your lack of sleep. I was like, okay, can I have the melatonin still though, or what are we doing? And so I take the melatonin and I come back with the blood tests already, and I sit down and Dr. Madhu, he gave me some answers to some pretty concerning things. My cholesterol was super high, concerningly high. I didn't know. My cholesterol was high. My vitamin D was through the floor. Kept explaining why I was getting sick all the time. See, I came in for melatonin. I came in for a fix to the problem I thought that I had, but the doctor exposed something far deeper. Which sucks. Because I love sitting around. I love nuggets. I love doing nothing with my life. You know what I mean? Like, I love just being, yeah, this. Fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a lot of it. But what caught me off guard is that I didn't realize, but because of my obesity, I was slowly dying and I didn't even realize it. And if I have a concern for today's generations, it would be this, that we are spiritually obese. What do I mean by that? I mean this, if you're writing notes, write this down. Spiritual obesity is when you consume more than you obey. We consume so much content, man. Worship music, latest album, heaps of podcasts, more. Yum, 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 yum. Latest podcast, American preacher, Australian preacher, none from New Zealand, but from more of us of everywhere else. No. Instagram content, 30-second snippets of messages we can't even be bothered to listen to the full thing of, but we listen to it and we're like, I've got a new revelation. He's unlocked something new to me. Women shouldn't be in ministry. Tongues are not for today. A new revelation because someone had enough money to buy a podcast microphone and put out enough rubbish that I would consume. And so what we do is we sit in the couches of our Christianity with inflated opinions and a lack of action. You know what's dangerous? Is that when we're sitting on the couch of our Christianity, we then, what we do with those actions is we commentate on church culture. Like, we know what we're talking about. Like we know what's going on. And we commentate on the world, the church, and the things we think we have all the answers to. And instead of making a difference, we're sitting in our spiritual obesity being couch Christians, merging with the culture instead of impacting it. We need to wake up and get up and get going. Because if we don't, we will lose Christianity in our generation. Let's have a look at the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 10 says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful to even talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. Pause. Seems like that's the opposite to how many of us like to live. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. Wait a minute. Expose them. How? Not by making more Instagram commentaries about this pastor, that church, that Christian. Did you see what they did? Did you see that song they did? Did you hear that interview they had? No, the light of God will shine on them and expose them. Maybe we've got this whole thing wrong. For the light makes everything visible. This is why it said, "Awake, O sleeper. Rise up from the dead and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ending spiritual obesity. See, Paul's writing to a church context here who have become couch Christians. The context for the church in Ephesus is that they've become bland and they've been blending into culture. And because they've blended into culture, what's happened is they're now bowing down to evil spirits and principalities. That's what it means to be spiritually obese, is ultimately it starts off with us consuming content, but because of our lack of action, we end up not changing the culture, but becoming more like it. Because our heads and our egos inflate, but our hearts shrivel and die. So similar to the church in Ephesus, so similar to the church today, so apathetic, lazy, lethargic, self-centered consumers who just want to take, take, take. So glad I came to church tonight. I feel so uplifted. Hallelujah. The church in Ephesus is like our church today. We are, and I mean the capital C church, not nations. This is a very, very good church. Boss. But the church is surrounded by distractions. See, the city of Ephesus, it's a major city in the Roman Empire. It's wealthy, it's influential, it's cosmopolitan. I read that in a study Bible. But it's famous for the Temple of Artemis, which is one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But here's what you got to know about this temple, is that it was used for witchcraft, sorcery, idol worship, and sexual immorality. Have you looked around at today's culture? Witchcraft, sorcery, idol worship, and sexual immorality. The Ephesian Christians lived in a place that looked a lot like today's culture. It was loud, distracted, entertainment-driven, and saturated with social compromise, and driven by sensual, soulish pleasure. They are the definition tonight of spiritually obese. They are the couch Christians we're talking about. And so Paul writes to the church and he gives some pretty important instructions on how they should respond to their current season of spiritual obesity. He says, first, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in worthless deeds of evil and darkness. He reminds them that it's shameful to gossip about what ungodly people do. Even entertain that language is shameful. He encourages them to be careful on how they live. And then he says, don't live like fools. Hold on, Harry, are you saying it's possible to claim Christ and still live foolish? Yeah. 100%. A whole church was doing it. What if claiming Christ wasn't actually enough? I've got my cross around my neck. Yeah, but it's the same cross that you wear when you're sleeping with that person. I've got a scripture in my bio. Yeah, but your feed's half naked photos of you at every beach on Western Australia. Like, I don't know how the two and two match. No, I'm going out every night to evangelize. So I get drunk and get high and do everything to be more like them so they see Jesus in me. Bro, what are you talking about? Well, Jesus hung out with prostitutes and sinners and wow. Yeah, but did Jesus change or did they change? Let me ask you, is the world better because you came in contact with it, or are you worse because you're living in it? I don't know. Like, maybe Maybe the world's going to hell around us because Christians look a whole lot like the world, foolish like them, going, you need Jesus. But then when they look at your life looks rubbish and defeated, just like theirs. So they're thinking to themselves, why would I want your Jesus when my life is already broken? I might as well go out with a bang. So don't live foolish, Paul says, but live wise. There's a difference. There's a difference. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And then there's this great moment where he says, awake, O sleeper. It's 110 bajillion, that's a big number, percent possible for us as Christians to be sleepwalking through our life, slandering the Lord through the way that we live, because we claim association, but then we defame his name. Do not take my name in vain, says the Lord. It's not just about swearing when you stub your toe. It's about reflecting him in the way that you actually live your everyday life. And if we're gonna see a move of his spirit, we're gonna have to get this right. We're going to have to wake up. We have to, because time's running out. Every day, people pass away who don't know Jesus. Are we happy with that? I'm not. That's why I've dedicated my life to this thing. But I had a sick deal with radio before this. Wellington's More FM. Yeah, Jesus called me out of it so that I would give my life to him because I was asleep at the wheel. Wake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead. Get up off the couch of your complacency. Get rid of your spiritual obese energy. I believe it's the out loud alarm bells for the church today. Get up. Get moving. Get going. Let's move forward in faith. So where does wisdom come from? Pretty simple, really, the Bible tells us. Crazy what happens when you actually read it. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Could it be plausible that the reason you live like a fool with no good judgment is because you don't fear the Lord and you found comfort on the couch of your Christianity? I'm going home tomorrow. See ya. Harry, why are you beating up couch Christianity? Well, the problem with couch Christianity is that we get comfortable in the culture that surrounds us. And we begin to settle for the sinful culture that is around us. We see that all the time. The standards of the word are being watered down right in front of our eyes. Abortion's wrong unless it comes from a rape, in which case maybe it's negotiable. What? There's marches happening today in Australia about not allowing legislation to pass around abortions based on gender. They're literally trying to pass that right now. Like, as in, get rid of a child if it's not the gender you want. That's being talked about now. It's already happening overseas. It's gonna, like, this is the trend of our world, and we're asleep at the wheel. Hell's not real. That's what they're saying now. It's just a moral nudger to get us back on. No, what are you talking about? Jesus talked about it. Eternity is for real, bro. We settle for the sinful culture around us. And because it happens because with spiritual obesity, we don't want to move, challenge, or correct the culture. Because our minds get inflated with knowledge and opinion instead of testing our thoughts. We sit back and we scroll and we say things that sound great. All the while, our heart towards God becomes callous and corrupted by the culture that does not honor God or lead to life. So we have to be careful, because at the moment, couch Christianity is pretty comfortable. In fact, all the time it's pretty comfortable, I'll be honest. It's way easier to sit here and just scroll and just observe, right? The problem with this, though, is that we don't actually change anything. Like, we think we're making an impact because we do the bare minimum. Oh, comment on that. repost that. I made a difference today. I'm an evangelist. How do you know? Oh, I sent it to my best friend. See, the problem is the couch feels comfortable, but it's a trap. What I'm trying to say tonight is the couch, this, by the way, is a hack. I should have done this every youth message. This is very comfortable for me. My lower back would have thanked me. What I'm trying to say tonight is that the couch represents comfort, passivity, and commentary. Because on the couch, you sit back, relax, you scroll, you watch, you binge, you post, you critique. And it feels like you're engaging with the world, but you actually aren't. It's not real, guys. It's just pixels on a screen. And apparently a web of internet. And a spider controls it. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. No, I don't know. You know what the reality is spiritually so many of us are doing this right now. Consuming the sermons, bouncing between podcasts, starting our own podcasts. Why? Consuming Christian content, dropping a DM to encourage my brother in Christ. And it feels like faith, but it's ultimately quite shallow. Couch Christianity tricks us into thinking consumption equals contribution. But it's not. Consumption isn't contribution, obedience is. But we're not obedient because we're on the couch, and the couch, write this down, turns passionate people passive. I was fired up at youth camp in 1989. By 1990, I was unsure. It only takes a moment to receive from God, and it only takes a moment to allow the doubt to rob you of that very moment. Yeah, you can do heaps from the couch. You can order food. Annalise! No, just kidding. That's my wife's name. That was funny. You can connect with people. You can work from the couch. You can game. You can watch movies or a show. But the more you stay here, the harder it is to get up. And what happens is, the more we stay here, how good is an afternoon nap? So open the scroll. Oh no. Yeah, bro. Pastor Shannon, you've got to do this in your next message. Honestly, it doesn't even need to relate to this one. Just do this. It's unreal. Also, don't send any photos to Pastor Nikki Dent. She'll be very confused as to why I'm in floral duvet and pillow set. But there's a problem, though, for us. I don't know if you guys looked at your roof. It's a good roof. There's like a microphone up there. I want to use that one. Hello. See, the thing is like, oh man, this is so, okay, focus, please. I got not enough time. It's harder to get up because comfort always bleeds to apathy. Why? Because couch Christianity leads to comfort and comfort leads to apathy. That's why Paul says, wake up. Pretty hard to sleep when you're running around like a crazy person for Jesus. Super easy to sleep right now, and I've had a whole can of Red Bull. The danger isn't that you're doing nothing, but that what you're doing just isn't enough to feel alive while spiritually sleepwalking through life. Here's what's crazy. The couch gives us the illusion of movement while your spirit's still asleep. I'm doing heaps. I'm changing the world. One critique of the body of Christ at a time. That pastor,
crazy dude. Do you see the watch that they had? Listen to me. The couch turns leaders into commentators. Notice that there's a lot of pastors giving up pastoring for commentating on podcasts. May it never be said of our generation that we did that, hey? Because the problem with commentators is that they ended the game, like ended playing the game, or they weren't good enough to play in the first place. And so now they commentate on everybody else's effort and say what they should do better without themselves making a difference. Like I was watching the All Blacks the other day against the Wallabies. There's someone in your team called Harry Potter. That's why you keep losing. It's literally his name, Harry Potter. It's why you keep losing. Get it sorted. But I'm lying on my bed watching the All Blacks, and I'm like, pass! Forward ref! I don't know how rugby works. I'm just a Kiwi. It's in the birth certificate. You have to support the All Blacks, even if you have no idea what's going on. Respectfully, you don't know how a church operates. Not even I understand what it means to be a senior pastor. Why am I critiquing all the senior pastors? I'm an executive pastor. I'm one step removed from the throne. But the more I've seen Pastor Fred in the throne, the more I'm like, I'm super stoked with this role. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, budgets and stuff, bro. Good luck with that. You know what I mean? Can I have some, by the way? Can I have like 20 grand for our youth budget? No, $5? Oh, it sounds good for me. I'll make it work, you know. Sorry for all of you guys. That's my shoe. Sorry about that. It's very easy for the camera operators in the overflow room. They're like, oh, it's an easy night tonight. You guys are basically becoming couch Christians. Come on, move the camera a little bit. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. See, the thing is that what we do is we commentate on church about what we perceive a problem to be when really we have no experience. See, it's like me going to the doctor and being like, I can't sleep and it's probably because I need melatonin. And the doctor says, no, it's because you're obese. And because you're obese, your lungs are struggling to breathe. Dr. Madhu, it's melatonin. Harry, you're obese. I lost the argument. I still got melatonin though. Yeah! You know, the problem is though, is that when it comes to the things of the kingdom of heaven, like submission is actually more important. Obedience is more important than us actually being right. Like as a youth pastor, I thought that I was right about some things and I probably was about some of them, but not in the grand scheme of the bigger picture. Like as a congregant, your feedback is always welcome. Pastor Shannon, we'll put his email up on the screen at the end of tonight. Just email him all your thoughts. He would love that. I'm going to send him my thoughts about my church. You know what I mean? He's going to fix it for me. You'd be surprised how much we're already aware of it. We love Jesus. We're just trying our best. And unlike many of us, we're actually putting our whole lives into this thing. But because of your spiritual obesity, your head's super fat. And your heart's super shriveled. You're like the Grinch who stole Christianity. You know what I mean? And his heart was two sizes too small. Shindy low. But the problem is that spectators never win souls, eh? Commentators never disciple nations. Couch Christians talk about the move of God while real Christians lend their lives to the move of God. Couch Christians and commentators don't change the world. I tell you who do, Christians with a conviction. And Christians who don't just have a conviction but have a compulsion to act on that conviction, to lay their lives down at the foot of this cross, not that cross, just the cross, symbolically meaning Jesus Christ, but who are willing to give their everything for this thing. Listen, I'm not saying we need to quit our day jobs and get in the ministry, but I am saying that your day job is your ministry. I am saying that your family is your first church. I am saying that your community is the world God put you in to make a difference in. So instead of complaining about the drug dealer around the corner, why don't you go witness to them? With a police officer present, just in case. You never know what's going to happen. Don't let your convictions die on the couch of your spiritual convenience. It's time to get out of our spiritual obesity church. It's time to leave it behind. Because a generation, the next one, Gen Alpha, the children in our church right now are waiting for parents, uncles, aunties of the faith, grandparents, pastors, leaders, politicians, teachers, doctors. They're waiting for us to step up into the full mandate of Jesus Christ, to not just receive the Spirit of God for me, but to receive what God has for us, for them. The mandate of our Christianity is that we would daily die to ourselves and not just complain about the problems around us, but to carry the convictions with us to a broken and hurting world. That's why we're called nations, not so that we can sit here and poo on every other church, poo on every other nation, but to stand in the glory and the authority of the blood that was shed for us. It's our mandate. It's our authority. Wake up. Because it's your mandate. We're moving forward in faith. We're moving forward in faith, not our spiritual fat. It's time to stop being spiritually obese and start being spiritually obedient.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com.